Last week we were in John chapter 16. If you turn with me, I'd like to read a few more verses in John chapter 16. Last week we spoke on the work of reproving of the Spirit of God and also of the work of regeneration. So we're going to continue just reading a couple more verses in this chapter. And then we'll see how that, the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. So John chapter 16, starting in verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit then he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Many years ago, about 10 years now, I was sitting in a meeting on a Sunday evening in Madrid, and there was a young fellow that came into the meeting there in Madrid and sat down right in front of us. Both Carol and I, we were there, and the fellow sits down, never seen him before. And there was a brother speaking that night, gave a very clear gospel presentation, and since I hadn't met this young fellow, the meeting was over, I introduced myself, he says, listen, I gotta go, I gotta catch a train, because I live, you know, on the outskirts of Madrid, but I got a lot of questions about what this man was talking about tonight. Could you meet with me tomorrow? And I said, sure. So we set up a time, went downtown Madrid the next day. He went a couple hours before his, before he had to start work in the afternoon. We talked for a couple of hours, and the guy got saved. I mean, just like that. It's like the only time that's ever happened, you know, but it was like the message spurred on the questions. The Lord used his servant to talk to him the next day. He says, you know what? Today's my birthday, physically, but today's also my birthday in knowing Christ. We're his birthday. What an incredible thing. You know, that happened one time in Spain. I mean, Spain is such a tough place. For that to happen was like, and it's already a miracle to see somebody get saved, but did that happen in Spain? Now turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Pardon me, Acts chapter 8.
Acts chapter 8.
And we want to read starting in verse 26. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then his spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come in up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophetess, of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Interesting story here. Here's this Ethiopian eunuch. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. He was a prominent man. He had the scriptures. Not anybody could just have the scriptures, but he had the scriptures. So on his way home, he's reading this.
Now, if you notice, they didn't read to themselves.
They read out loud.
Yeah, Luther says that it takes a very special knack for somebody to read internally.
For generations, hundreds, I'd say thousands of years, people read out loud. They didn't know how to read internally.
They always read out loud.
And you know what people were doing? Because you could hear them.
Okay?
So here's this easy and open unit reading out loud. And it says the Lord took Philip alongside him. And now he's hearing him. And he asked a question. Do you understand? How many times do people not understand? When we're done on a Sunday morning and someone's just preached and maybe somebody's visiting, you ever ask the question, have you understood what you heard today? We often don't ask that question to people who visit students. Or, here's a tract, they take it home, did you understand, and they come back the next week, did you understand? That's a good one line, isn't it? Did you understand what you heard? Did you understand what you read? And Philip was very, eunuch was very honest with him. What did he say? He said, I can't understand it unless somebody explains it to me. Well, what did we read in John? Now, how be it he, the Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I believe Philip spoke because he was taught of the Spirit of God. And he could be led of the Spirit of God to explain those things. And we've been going through these classes on evangelism. Last week we talked about, on Wednesday night, we talked about the Spirit of God reproving the unbeliever and regenerating the unbeliever. But today I'd like to make emphasis on our responsibility as believers. The Spirit of God works in our lives that we might know the truth. And so that we can use the truth when we come up against people who don't understand the truth. You know, this isn't just mathematics, 2 + 2 = 4. Anybody can do that. But sharing the gospel, not just anybody can do it. Not even the believers can do it automatically. If we were to just make it automatic, then what do we need the Spirit of God for? But the Spirit of God is working in us and through us so that we might answer questions. It's interesting, as I've been having these Bible studies with Roberto and Elizabeth, I wish you could be in and listen. The conversations that he is having with people says, and I don't know anything, but they're asking him questions. He said, listen, I just know this little thing and this little other thing. And I said, that blows me away. How did he know that? Well, the Spirit of God is guiding. Directing. He reads a few things, and before you know it, God gives him the opportunity at work with somebody, or the other day, they were going to come here on Sunday morning early, but they were out evangelizing till midnight Saturday night. He called me at 7:30 and said, pray for me, because we're visiting this couple, and they're pretty staunch Roman Catholic, especially the wife. We want to let them know about what God's done in our life. And they were there till midnight. The next day was almost hard for them to get out of bed to come into 11 o'clock service. But they were trying to make it for 9:30. They didn't make it. But God's working in this couple. He works in us too, doesn't he? When I think of that illustration there in Madrid, I wasn't looking for that fellow to walk in the door. You know why that fellow walked in the door? In his neighborhood, some brethren had gone with a sketchboard and were preaching the gospel. And they said, he came up to them and said, I want to know more. And they said, well, we can't invite you to our building tonight because we're painting it. So we don't have a Sunday night, but go to this place. The guy had so much interest that he came to listen. But somebody was out evangelizing. Somebody was out speaking. The Spirit of God was working in that life. He was being led of the Spirit of God. And I ask you the question tonight. Are you being led of the Spirit of God in your evangelism on a regular basis when you have people who you're interacting with? Or is this just a story for the book of Acts? You know, this is back then, right? God, the Spirit of God doesn't work this way anymore, right? Are we just not looking for the opportunity? Are we just not ready for the opportunity? For you see, it says here in verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. It was the Spirit of God instructing burdens. The other day we got a call, and it was this Elizabeth, Roberto's wife, and says, I just made some soup here, some Mexican soup. Sopa. In Spanish, sopa. Can I bring some over? It's okay, right? I said, sure, bring it over. So she came over with this sopa. It was delicious. I haven't had that Mexican sopa for a while. And later I was explaining to her that, you know, the Spirit of God was burdening you to share what you have. And you need to be led. And I said, you know, that's how we know what our gifts are, our spiritual gifts. We're not going to discuss that tonight. But spiritual gifts are burdens that God puts on us so that we might serve, that we might help, that we might preach, that we might evangelize. And I said, you know, when God prompts you, you need to take him up on it. Right? Some brethren have the gift of giving, and they give. Not necessarily in the basket on Sunday. They just give. Others go do a visit. There's being burdened or being led. The Spirit of God led Philip here. He leads us on a regular basis if we are willing to be obedient. And if we're looking for those opportunities. And oftentimes we don't talk enough about the Spirit's work in our life, do we? He is at work, like we spoke last week, reproving the unbeliever of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I ask you the question, do you believe that? Do you believe that the people that are around your circle of influence, God is convicting them, reproving them? I believe it. I believe it. And as we pray, God's going to give us the opportunity to step in with the message, if we want to be led, of course. But I think you have the same problem I do. You know what that problem is? You're too busy. I don't know, when I think of the word busy, some of you heard the Veggie Tales before. Busy, busy, much, much too busy for you. And I remember watching our kids, watching that video, and thinking, yeah, much, much too busy. We were too busy. You know, I was thinking about what I had to do here today. I drove, again, the car without my wallet. I'm walletless today, tonight. I mean, I forgot it. I was thinking of something. How often are we caught up thinking of something and we forget everything else around us? And one of the things we're trying to do on a Monday night is to have consciousness about speaking to others about Christ. Because what will happen is the days go by, just like I can forget my wallet, we forget to take literature, we forget to even greet somebody and think, maybe this person's willing to hear the gospel, but I'm not willing because I'm too busy. I gotta go to the store, I gotta come home, I gotta fix the meal, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, and we're just running. And you say, at the end of the day, what have I done? Maybe the Spirit wanted me to talk to that person at the supermarket. Maybe the Spirit of God, you know, that telemarketer that was talking on the phone, I maybe should have said, you know, before I give you 5 minutes, I want 1 minute of your time when I'm done. Because there are people who do that. I know one lady who said that, and the lady said, listen, I can't talk to you on company time, but give me your phone number and I will call you after work. This lady had a 2-hour conversation with a telemarketer after work about the gospel. Interesting. But here, can you imagine Philip saying, Lord, I can't go down there. I'm too busy. You know, I gotta bring wood in for the fire for my wife. She's gotta make a meal tonight. You know, I gotta go fish. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. What did Philip do? He went. And verse 31 says, and he said, now I can expect some man should guide me, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Think of the privilege that Philip had this day to sit with the treasurer of the nation of Ethiopia. Imagine if he would have been too busy that day. Here he sat in this guy's Mercedes, his Cadillac, his Lincoln, you know, having a nice conversation. Who knows, maybe he got a good glass of cold water on that chariot. But more than that, he was able to explain. Can you imagine this verse is out of Isaiah 53? Is that coincidence? That's not coincidence. That's providence. That he, this man, would be reading about the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. And Philip can just go right in and explain the gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ. Phenomenal. And you know, if you read the book of Acts, the apostles did not have any qualms talking about water baptism when they preached the gospel. Not for regeneration. Absolutely not. Water baptism does not save anyone. We tell people, if you enter the water a sinner unsaved, all you come out is a wet sinner unsaved. It's not going to do anything for you. I remember we were having a special campaign in this one town in Spain. We've been working there for 2 weeks evangelizing. And I tell you, we had film, gospel films going every night. We were going out and doing door to door during the day. We were standing on corners doing all sorts of stuff. This town knew that there was 50 people in this town sharing the gospel. We had these huge banners across the street. Come and see, come and see. People said, come and see what? Maybe draw them in. And we had a Bible study going with some young fellows about 13, 14 years old. They had gone through about 6 or 7 lessons of a Bible course. They were well on their way. And then we brought up the subject of, you know, if you get saved, the Lord says that you need to be baptized. This young fellow turned white. He said, baptized? Publicly? No. No way. I'm not going to let it. I'm not going to give any testimony in front of anybody. No way. And he just drew back. Drew back. It saddened our hearts, the people who were doing the Bible study. And he said, maybe I shouldn't have brought it up. Maybe he would have gotten saved and then he would have been ready. Maybe. But I follow the pattern that I see here in Scripture. You know why? Because when that person gets saved, they know the next step. Isn't that what Matthew 28 says? That we should go, let them make disciples, and we should be baptizing them, teaching them all things. You know, people need to know commitment ahead of time, don't they? Before you build a tower, you should know how much it's going to cost, the Lord says. And here, this Ethiopian says, hey, there's water. What hinders me from getting baptized? Well, if you really believe with all your heart, nothing. Let's go, right now. So you see, we haven't heard anything else of this Ethiopian eunuch in the rest of the book of Acts, but we know today that there's a strong church in Ethiopia. How's that? This man was saved. He had the scriptures and was baptized and went to his hometown. And I think, I won't know till heaven, but I think that was the seed that went back to his country and germinated and gave forth hundredfold. Hundredfold. Because Philip was obedient to go alongside this chariot. And I ask you the question. Who knows? Maybe the Lord has somebody special in your path that maybe might be the treasurer of a nation, like the Ethiopian eunuch, who might take the gospel back to his homeland and much fruit go forth.
you know, I'm really looking forward to heaven. Because I tell you, being in the prison hasn't just given us a ministry in Spain to the Spaniards. We're touching every continent in the world. We have a Chinese fella. We have people from Cameroon. We've had guys from Nigeria, from Colombia, from Venezuela, from Peru, from Argentina, from England, from France, from Hungary, from Morocco. I just wonder, you know, when they go back, they take in the precious seed with them. What will happen? You know, I don't know. Only God knows. Only God knows. But I want to be available. Available. Are you available for the God to use you? To be led of the Spirit? Because, you know, that's what we're trying to do on Monday night. Is encourage one another. And this is one of those areas the Spirit of God has come alongside us to guide us into the truth so that we might be able to testify of the truth. Go back to John 16. Actually, John 15. John chapter 15, the last couple of verses of the chapter. John 15, verses 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit of God's job is what? To testify of Christ. To bear witness of Christ. Brethren, if we're testifying in our flesh, it's not going anywhere. But if we're testifying in the Spirit of God, with the power of the Spirit, guess what's going to happen? Just like it happened in the book of Acts. They said, we know that they have been with Jesus. Isn't that an incredible testimony? You know, I would hope that people see Jesus in me, that I'm giving testimony and say, you know, that fellow there, you know, he's explaining the Word of God. I've never heard somebody explain it that way. Why? Because, you know, there's not many people that are explaining the Word of God today, are there? Sunday morning, Herb was listening to the radio on the way here to the chapel, and he gave us some interesting information back in the prayer room. You know what he said? I forget what program he was listening to. I think it was Zechariah. He was saying, less than 50% of Baptists believe that the Word of God is without error. Less than 50%. That's people my age and above. If you get all the young people, it drops to less than 10%. The people who are Methodists are, I think it's less than 9%, and Episcopalians less than 4%. I ask you a question. How in the world are you going to testify without this book? How? It's impossible. Why are we teaching the young children in Awana and Sunday school the scriptures? Because we know that's what's going to drive the truth home. And once they get saved, they're going to have the Word of God ready as a sword to give it to somebody else. Yesterday I was with Roberto and Elizabeth, and Roberto said, I got to learn more verses. I got to memorize them. Because, you know, I don't always get a chance to bring the scriptures with me, but I want to be giving them the Word of God. And so that, you know, he has a question, and I said, oh yeah, there's a verse for that. And I bring my Spanish Bible because I'm better in my Spanish Bible than I am my English Bible. So I look it up, I say, here it is. And he starts writing it down. I says, now what you gotta do is you gotta make this little 3x5 card, write down your verses, put it in your pocket, so when you're going half hour to work, half hour back, go over and over the scriptures. So you're ready to testify. Ready to give the reason for the hope that is within you. That's the Spirit's job in our hearts as believers. He's reproving, convicting of sin to the unbeliever. But in our lives, he's leading us into the truth. He's guiding us to those he's getting ready. There aren't coincidences. In Acts 9, it was providence. We often, I remember Wallace Jackson would talk and say, God has provided again another divine appointment. Divine appointment. Have you had any recently? I hope so. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a God who is in charge of saving people. Thank you for the Spirit of God that leads us and guides us and encourages us. We pray, Father, that we might be sensitive to his promptings, that truly we might be your ambassadors in a world that is without Christ. For we ask in Jesus' name.